Okay, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will be chairing your hearing. Just give him 1 second to get his paperwork together, and we'll be ready to go, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is it Mr. Ned or Mr. Need, sir?
Ned, N-E-D-D.
Thank you, sir. Could you state your full name and ADC number for the record? I'm sorry, sir. Could you state your full name and your ADC number for the record?
Jerome Lesroy Ned, 147-469.
Thank you, sir, and good morning. Still the morning.
Good morning to you, too.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a ratification hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 14th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Representing myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You cannot see us, but we have 4 voting board members. We have the Honorable Mr. David Neal, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne. He'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Ned and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Ned. This hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with Phase 2 deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin Phase 1 by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse for criminal laser company as follows. Allegation number 1, violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about July 3rd, 2017, per the task GCMS lab report dated July 7, 2017. Mr. Ned, is this true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number 2, violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about June 27, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 6, 2017. Mr. Ned, is this true or false?
You said the date was August 6th?
It says your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about June 27, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated August
6, 2017. True.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number 3, violation of condition number 7 is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 24th, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated, once again, August 6th, 2017. Mr. Ned, is this true or false?
I believe that would be true. That's true.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number 3, violation of condition number 7 is demonstrated by use of marijuana on or about July 3rd, 2017 per the task lab report dated July 7, 2017. Mr. Ned, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Final allegation, allegation number 5, condition number 3, is demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2518 East Butte Street, Mesa, Arizona, on or about August 1st, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Ned, is this true or false?
False.
Okay, sir. Being as that you stated false for allegation number five, we're going to take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we will come back to you shortly for a few questions regarding the allegation in phase one. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number five. On August 2nd of 2017, Parole Officer Groves received a telephonic contact from the offender's wife, Kimberly Newman, who stated the offender left her residence located at 2518 East Butte Street, Mesa, Arizona, 85213 on August 1st of 2017 and took all his belongings with him. Kimberly stated that she did not know where the offender was and multiple attempts to contact have been unsuccessful. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up. On August 6th of 2017, Officer Groves made telephonic contact with the offender's wife, Kimberly Newman, who again verified the offender left her home on August 1st of 2017 and sensed that they had not returned or received any telephonic contact from the offender. On August 6th of 2017, Officer Groves attempted to make telephonic contact with the offender via his listed emergency contact, brother Everett LaBird. For the individual who answered the phone, no one by that name of Everett LaBird lived in the home and he did not know the offender's whereabouts. On August 6th of 2017, Professor Groves verified via the Maricopa County Jail Information Center that no one with the offender's name or date of birth was in the custody of his jail system. Professor Groves has exhausted all known and provided contacts in his attempt to telephonically locate the offender.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Ned. What is it that is false about allegation number five?
First of all, I never changed my address. My address is still 2518 East Butte Street in Mesa, Arizona. I still reside there to this day. Corey never once did he called Kimberly Newman. She told him she didn't know where I was. She told him she didn't know where I was at because she didn't know where I was at. Because we weren't talking at the time, but I still resided there. I left and didn't tell her I was leaving, so she, of course, she didn't know where I was at the time that he had called. When I came back, she had told me that my PO had called, but she didn't keep them. She just had a voice message. I just listened to it, and I was waiting for him to call back the next day or whenever he was going to call back again, but he never called back.
Okay, sir, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to move through phase one. And that is, just one second. Based on Mr. Ned's admission on allegations one through four, as well as information provided in warrant number 2017W2723, and regarding allegation five, regarding based on information provided in warrant number 2017W2723, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Ned, delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed in a related company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Ned, we're going to move forward with the second phase of your hearing. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily, Mr. Ned. Mr. Osborne, if you will.
Yes, sir. Mr. Ned was released from DOC custody on May 22nd of 2017. He was arrested on August 22nd of 2017 by the Mesa Police Department on his absconding warrant status and was returned back to our custody that same day with 21 absconded with a community supervision end date of September 10th of 2018. Current conviction, 2012, theft of means of transportation, 7 years. Prior convictions, 1999, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2002, burglary, third degree, 1 year. 2003, dangerous drug violation, 3 years. 2006, dangerous drug violation, 1 year. 2006, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. In 2006, misconduct involving weapons, 4 years, 6 months. He's had 5 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is no STD or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2000, TIS completion, 2 months. 2002, TIS tech violator arrested, returned to custody, reached his CSED. 2010, TIS absconder, 63 days, returned to custody and revoked. He has a moderate disciplinary history with drugs and threats noted. And since his return on September 23rd, 2017, received a write-up for disrupting count for being out of place. Other arrests, 1993, criminal damage, AZ juvenile probation. 1993, shoplifting, AZ juvenile probation. 1995, damage to private property, AZ unknown. 1995, theft, AZ unknown. 1995, marijuana violation, AZ unknown. 1995, burglary, AZ no contest. 1996, contempt of court, AZ county jail. 2000, dangerous drug violation, AZ unknown. And 2011, misdemeanor other DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. And he has a community risk score of G5, B6.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Ned. According to your case supervision summary, you were approved to reside at Changes Sober Living, located at 1344 South Mason Drive, Mesa, Arizona. You were not accepted in the home by Charles Management due to having no ready funds upon arrival. On May 23, 2017, you were approved to reside with your wife, Kimberly Newman, located at 2518 East Butte Street, Mesa, Arizona, until we have you as absconding on August 1st, 2017. At no other time during your supervision did you request or receive approval to change your address prior to absconding. We have some employment notes. It looks like that we don't have any record of verifiable employment. Were you working at all when you were on community supervision, Mr. Ned?
Yes.
Where were you working, sir?
I worked for Sterling Residential. It's my brother Everett's business that they sell contracted ugly homes. And they're just going, and after people move out, they go inside and refurbish houses. Basically what we do. Paying any plumbing or anything that needs to be done inside the house, that's what we do. We fix up houses.
Well, that's good that you are working. We always find that positive when people have work when they're coming out of the correction system. I will ask you that you made reference to your brother Everett. He was listed as an emergency contact when your parole officer was looking for you. Did you give the wrong number? Or I think you heard how that was described.
I mean, the number is 480-228-7890. If that's the number that he has, it shouldn't be the wrong number, unless my brother never contacted me and let me know that my PO called.
Well, the note was per the individual who answered the phone, known by the name of Everett Libert, lived at that home, and he did not know the offender's whereabouts. So.
No, I never lived with Everett.
Okay. Well, I don't know about living with him, but he wasn't aware. The person who answered was not aware of Everett, or we weren't able to confirm. I'm sorry, not we. Parole was not able to confirm where you were at that time. You were referred to CHC for counseling. It states that you did not attend all assigned meetings prior to absconding on August 1st and therefore did not successfully complete the program. You were assigned the color code of olive with task. According to the history notes, you failed the test on June 27th, failed the test on June 28th, positive for methamphetamine and marijuana on July 3rd, failed to test on July 5th, failed to test on July 6th, and failed to test on July 24th. Some sanctions notes are reported to Mesa Regional Parole Officer to meet with Parole Officer Groves regarding your ability to test with task and your positive urine analysis for marijuana. During this meeting, you denied any methamphetamine use. However, the task GCMS lab report dated July 7th, positive results was confirmed. You were sanctioned to enter MRC on July 7th, 2017, 14 days. You reported MRC and completed the 14-day sanction period with your release on July 21st. And again, no further staffings until you reported anyhow as absconding on August 1st, 2017. So, I'll begin by asking Mr. Ned, we have in our record that you were missing from community supervision for 21 days. As you stated earlier, and I'm certainly not trying to argue with you, you said that you had never left that residence, but what were you doing for the 21 days that you were missing from community supervision?
I was working. I mean, you can call there today and they'll still tell you that I reside there.
Thank you, sir.
That is my home.
What happened that caused Mesa Police Department to have contact with you when you were arrested on the abscond warrant?
My daughter was driving and she ran through a yellow light. I was in the back seat with my granddaughter, which is her daughter, and she ran through a yellow light, and that's how we got pulled over, and that's how I got arrested. And it was a whereabout. You know, I didn't even know I had a warrant out. You know, my appeal never called me, told me nothing, he never, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I was like, Court, I'm talking about Court Groves. He never informed me to come see him after I came out of MRC on August 21st, you know. And so I was like, if he don't contact me, how am I supposed to know what steps to take forward?
Thank you, Mr.
So I was really basically waiting on him, and then August, I don't know what day I got arrested, but that's the day I got arrested is how I found out I had a warrant for me on the vehicle, told me I'd sell the warrant.
Thank you, Mr. Ned. I'm going to ask a quick question from our community corrections officer. I'll ask you first, Mr. Osborne. Sounds like you had some information. But regarding an individual coming out of MRC and their continued community supervision, are they on a schedule to maintain contact with the parole officer?
Well, he's already given a date by a parole officer, but once the wife called and said he had left the property and taken his belongings, there's no reason to even drop a violation letter because he's already left his approved residence. He's no longer living there. So the wife would have known what was going on and was advised by the PO. So if he came back home, I'm sure she would have shared that information, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, Mr. Ned, before we continue. Fellow board members? Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Ned, did it occur to you to contact your PO instead of waiting for your PO to contact you?
It did. It ran across my mind, but I was so busy and tired of, you know, working. And then I almost had a second job. I was about to down in downtown Mesa called Firehouse Supply. We installed the fire extinguishers, you know, through the schools and Mesa Public Schools and stuff and whatnot. That's what I was going to be doing. That was my second job. But, I mean, yeah, I should have took more responsibility and contacted my PO, but, I don't know why I failed, you know. I just failed. I had no real answer for that, you know. It just, that's my messed up. It's not an excuse, I know that, but it's just, that's my fault. I mean, I have to take full responsibility for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ned. Any further questions from fellow board members? No further questions from fellow board members. So we will turn back to you, Mr. Ned. We're getting close to the end of our hearing. Would you like to make a final statement before the board goes into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing, and do you have anything you would like to offer to the board?
Yeah, I would just like to I really would like a second chance, you know, I do have health issues, you know, and there's nothing, it's serious, you know, I have melanoma cancer in my ear, so that's why we need to get out of this. Medical here is really not medical, you know. I mean, they can't really do nothing for me until I get released, you know. I don't get released till about June 18th is my release date, you know, which to me is, you know, prolonging what could be, needs to be done today. So I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'd like to set a chance if you guys accept it, you do. If not, I guess I gotta tough it out and, you know, take care of my health issues when I get out. That's basically it, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Knapp. I would ask you one last question, and that is that you had numerous failures to test when assigned the color code of olive through TASC. Why did you miss so many tests? I know you were sanctioned for it, but what was going on?
I didn't even know I missed that many tests. To me, I called every day. I only missed two that I know of. One verbally told to go do it by Mr. Groves, and one when I called the TASC hotline, I missed that one, and I showed up late. After a certain time, they don't let you sign in to take a test. That's how I missed that second one.
Well, thank you for your honesty with this board, Mr. Knapp. The board is going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. Really ask that you remain on the phone and remain quiet while we have this discussion.
Yes, sir.
Well, just give us a few moments. We will come back to you shortly with a decision. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, we have numerous allegations on this warrant, the majority of which deal with drugs and failures to provide urine specimens. Two of these failure to provide were mentioned in the warrant, but there were additionals that were noted in TASC, in addition to a period of absconding. I will say that as a matter of wanting, as one voting board member who would like to see people succeed under community supervision, I'm a little bit torn on this, in as much that Mr. Ned has close to 11 months left on his prison sentence before he's free and clear. And there are circumstances in which I would prefer to see someone receive treatment or counseling or programming, but based on everything we gathered regarding the period of absconding, especially with his wife saying that he left the residence, I don't see what choice the parole officer had to declare him as an absconder, in addition to trying to follow up to find this individual. He did complete his sanction period, but then we lose him around August 1st, 2017 on his abscond status before he's again picked up by the Mesa Police Department. He did not make contact with his parole officer. He did not turn himself in. So I'm having trouble finding Mr. Ned suitable for returning him to community supervision. But that's where I begin the discussion. And I'm certainly open to the input and wisdom of my colleagues. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Sir, one of the benefits that someone receives when they're released on community supervision is that they're free from the prison environment. But in exchange for that, they sign a set of conditions, and I'm just hearing, and what I'm hearing from Mr. Ned, that he's kind of been inattentive to those conditions. I mean, it was important to him, important that he followed all of those, and he didn't make an effort to contact his PO. He didn't call in for UAs or somehow didn't know he was supposed to be there, didn't know he had a warrant. To me, these are all things that are very basic to community supervision. And, you know, as I said earlier, in exchange for being in the prison environment, you agree to take care of these things and make an effort. And I'm just not hearing that in Mr. Nett.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further input from our fellow board members?
I agree with the two of you, and I would also point out the fact that I believe that this was his fifth term with DOC. In addition to that, he was familiar with parole or community supervision in as much as in 2000 he completed it. In 2002, he reached it CSED, which means that he had gone through the process, and in 2010, he was revoked. Therefore, he really understood community supervision. He just didn't apply. I don't know why he did not. The other thing that concerns me is mere fact, and I know that this was perhaps a minor, but back after he returned, he had a ticket in September the 23rd for count. You know, and just little things like that, it just says to me that I don't believe that he's quite ready for community supervision, but I'm still prepared to listen to other board members. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Thank you, Doctor. Based on our discussion, I'm going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W2723. Our discussion with Mr. Nett, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Nett was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree? Agreed. Okay, Mr. Nett, your supervision has been revoked and will be released on or about September 10, 2018. I take no pleasure in stating that you have another approximate 11 months left on your flat prison sentence, and I hope this time moves very quickly. We do encourage you to take advantage of the remainder of your sentence to pursue any programming that's available to you in D.C. and to put together a plan for your transition back to the community, to include any plans for work or any further needs regarding to ongoing issues with drug abuse, especially in the area of drug treatment. We do wish you a safe return to the community in 2018. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and thank you for appearing before the board, Mr. Nett.
So, what does that mean? It's revoked?
Yes, it's revoked, sir.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.